Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 1, we read this: "A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth." You know, that causes you to think about what your name is going to be on the day of your death. Is it going to be a good name? Do you ever think about what people will say about you after you're dead? Solomon thinks that we should think about it because he says a good name is better than precious ointment in the day of death than the day of one's birth. What will they say about you after you're dead? I don't mean what they'll say about you at your funeral. At funerals, the deceased is the best dad. He's the best man. She's the best mother. She's the best woman, the best friend, the best soldier, and so forth. Funerals are an emotional time, and remembering the best qualities of our deceased loved ones comforts us. Now, my question is this: have you thought about your epitaph? Have you thought about your name? What would God write on your headstone as a summary of your life? I mean, you should live your life in such a way that your epitaph will read like you think it should. You should keep the end in mind. So let's talk about some epitaphs that we can find in the Bible on some people that we know. And we're not going to exhaust this subject today. There are too many people and too many things said about them, but we can certainly find some that will give us a broad view of what people might say. How will yours read? Will it read like Judas Iscariot's epitaph? Turn to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, and look at verse 5. Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 disciples, Judas Iscariot, given the gifts that were given to the other disciples to heal the sick and cleanse the lepers, to raise the dead, to preach the kingdom of heaven, to preach repentance. Tremendous. In addition to that, he was like the treasurer. He held the bag, but he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 27, he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed, watch it, and went and hanged himself. He went and hanged himself. Listen, your life does not have to end like that. I don't know what you're going through, but suicide is a terrible way to end your life. One of the problems is that when people talk about you, and you could have been very successful, very smart, very capable, good family, but people will never be able to remember you without remembering how you ended your life. I mean, if you're contemplating ending your life, please stop right now and get the help you need. You say, but I've been crying out for help. Well, maybe the people to whom you've been crying out haven't read the signal clearly enough to realize that you are so desperate for help, you would even contemplate seriously taking your own life. Will you have a lot of emotional work to do? Yes. Will you have a lot of spiritual work to do? Yes. You may even have physical work to do. to change your mind. But it's worth it in the end. Your children will never get over it. Your spouse, if you're married, will never get over it. Your friends will never get over it. They'll just never be able to understand. And there are those in your life who will constantly say to themselves, what could we have done? What could we have done? Now, we don't generally address the subject of suicide in a message, but as I thought about this message and I thought about the life of Judas Iscariot, he had all of the potential. Yes, did he make a terrible mistake in betraying the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, he did. But he recognized that he made a mistake. He even went back to the Pharisees and said, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. But of course, he didn't take that repentance to God. He took it to the people who gave him the silver. But he could have taken it to God. He just didn't. That type of betrayal was terrible. Have you ever turned your back on God? Listen, you don't have to live with that for the rest of your life. Repent. Are there things in your life that have pressed on you so hard that you're thinking about taking your own life? Don't do that. Don't do that. Consider that you can get the help you need, and that if you are willing to go through the emotional, spiritual, physical, perhaps medical work, you can change your mind, and it will be worth it to you in the end and to your loved ones in the end. But if you decide to take your life, your epitaph will always read, he went and hanged himself. Because they'll never be able to talk about you or remember you without remembering how you ended your life. How will you read? How will your epitaph read? Will it read like Ben-Hadad's epitaph? Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 20. 1 Kings chapter 20. During the reign of Ahab, Syria was dominating Israel. And Israel had very, very few soldiers left. Ben-Hadad had alliances with many other kings. And yet, listen, Ahab was able to lead his small army, and he was able to defeat the Syrians that were trying to basically eliminate Israel. Now, you know, one of the problems, one of the reasons that Ben-Hadad was not successful, obviously because God helped Israel, but here's another reason. 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 16. They went out at noon, but Ben-Hadad, watch it, was drinking himself drunk in the pavilions, he and the kings, the 30 and two kings that helped him. Ben-Hadad was a drunk. Ben-Hadad was drinking himself drunk. Listen, if you're a drunk, or if you're a dope addict, that's what people are going to remember and say about you after you die. They won't be able to talk about you without saying, he or she died of an overdose. I have friends of mine, dating back to my teenage years, who have died of overdoses. And you cannot ever hear people speak of them without someone saying, oh yeah, I remember him. He died of an overdose. Oh, I remember her. Isn't she the one that died of an overdose? What a tragic way to be remembered. What an epitaph. Or perhaps, like Ben-Hadad, you're a drunk. He died of cirrhosis of the liver. I hear that's a terrible way to die, by the way. Or she died of cirrhosis of the liver. What? She drank herself to death. But you do not want to drink yourself to death. You do not want to drug yourself to death. I grant you, it is much harder to get off the booze. It is much harder to get off the drugs than it is to die. I'll grant you that. I was talking to a fellow one time who, when he was in his 50s, quit drinking. And he was a heavy drinker. And he went through horrible DTs over numerous days. And then, in addition to that, went through about 5 years of depression because his body no longer had the chemical and there were things that he had to deal with. And he said to me years later, if I had known that it was going to be that hard to quit, I would rather have died. Now, he could say that having knowing exactly what it took to quit. I'm not telling you it'll be easy. By God's grace, you can do it. And it's going to be hard work. You're going to have to deal with the emotional things in your life that you're covering by alcohol and drugs. You're going to have to deal with all that. I'll grant you that. But listen, a good name. That's what Solomon said you're going to want is a good name in the end. In the day of your death, a good name is better than precious ointment. And that's what you want. And in order to have that, you do not want Ben-Hadad's epitaph. He was drinking himself drunk. Is that the way you want to be remembered? If not, then make some changes. You say, man, I just don't know if I have the energy to go through the work. I'm sure you don't have the energy to go through it. And I'm sure you don't have the strength to go through it. But I'm sure that God does. You see, with men this is impossible. With God all things are possible. That's what we know. In your weakness, God's grace gives you strength so that you are stronger in your weakness by God's grace than you would be without God's grace in your own strength. How will your epitaph read? Like Judas Iscariot's? He went and hanged himself. Like Ben-Hadad's? He was drinking himself drunk. Those are not good epitaphs. I suggest to you, if you're living that kind of life, please cry out for help. Seek help. Begin the work that's necessary by God's grace to change your life. Oh, listen, if you succeed in that, you will have a good name. People say, my goodness, you just can't believe where that person was when God got a hold of him and turned his life around. They'll never forget that. They'll never forget that. How will yours read? Like Judas's? Like Ben-Hadad's? Or like David's? 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14. We remember, you know, when you speak of David, people will say today, oh yeah, David the king. Yes, we know David the king, a man after God's own heart. That's what you say about him. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14, here's why they say that. After Samuel told Saul that he had done foolishly and therefore lost the kingdom, Samuel went on to say in 1 Samuel 13, 14, now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people. Listen, a man after his own heart. And you know that it's so because when you get to Acts chapter 13 and read about David in the New Testament, when Paul is preaching about him, he says about David that he was a man after God's own heart. Acts chapter 13, verse 22. He raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Whoa, what a testimony. How would you like that to be on your epitaph? A man after God's own heart. You know that David wasn't a sinless man. You know that. He committed in his lifetime two of the worst sins that you can commit. I say the worst because in the Old Testament, there was not a sacrifice for adultery. The man had to die. And there wasn't a sacrifice for murder. The man had to die. And yet, in David's case, after the adultery with Bathsheba and after having her husband killed, the Lord said, I'm going to put that sin away. Amazing. Amazing. Listen, David was not sinless, but he had a godly heart. You're not sinless, and you're not going to be sinless, not until you have a glorified body, not until after Jesus Christ comes. But in the meantime, you can have a heart for God. The Bible says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. You can have a godly heart. I mean, have you looked at the Psalms that David wrote? You don't write those kinds of Psalms if you don't have a heart for God. So if you have committed some serious sins in your life, you may have. That's not the end for you. That does not have to be your epitaph. Oh, he really committed some bad sins. He was a wicked man. It doesn't have to be that at all. Those sins will not define your life if you will get your heart right with God and live for him. You can do that right now. You can just say, listen, I am done with that wicked life. I am done with that sin in my life. I may have to fight it, but I'm done. I want to have David's epitaph, and right now I'm going to get my heart right with God, and from now on I'm going to start loving God with my heart and loving his words with my heart and living for God. And when you get to the end of your life, you may have David's epitaph. That fella, that woman, had a heart for God. You know, the strange thing about David and Bathsheba is that they had at least another child. And that child's name was Jedidiah. And that child's name was also Solomon. And Solomon became the heir to the throne. And Solomon was a man to whom God gave wisdom and understanding. And that came from the union of David and Bathsheba. You see, God got in their lives and changed them so that the epitaph read according to the words of God, a man after God's own heart. How will yours read? Like David's? How about like Enoch's? Enoch's epitaph, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. Beautiful passage. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. Before his translation, he had this testimony. Watch it. That he pleased God. How would you like that written for your epitaph? He pleased God. She pleased God. Jesus said when he was here on the earth, I do always those things that please him. You find that in John chapter 8, verse 29. Listen, you can please God with your life by daily purposing to do everything the Lord leads you to do, and to do everything the way he wants you to do it. Did you realize that? Today, right now, you could say, you know something? I don't want to please myself anymore. That's the generation in which we live. Today, in the perilous times before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, in these last days, men shall be lovers of their own selves, the Bible says. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. You may be that person, and right now you could make a repentant decision before God and say, I do not want that to be my testimony. I don't want that to be my epitaph, that he pleased himself. I want my epitaph to say, he pleased God. You can do that. You can do that. How? You say, right now, repent of your sins, right now. And then purpose in your life, as if you're saved, as a child of God. If you're not saved, get saved. But if you're a child of God, purpose in your heart, Lord, we're going your way, not mine. Show me how you want me to go. Order my steps, and I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Now, in order to do that, you're going to have to read your Bible and do what it says. And then you're going to have to pray and have fellowship with the Lord and be filled with the Spirit of God. When you are, you'll please God. And I'm going to tell you something. You will be forever grateful that you did. Because you'll have an epitaph like some of the kings in the Old Testament, like Josiah. Josiah was a great king. And the Bible says about Josiah, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Wouldn't you love that said about you? Particularly since you haven't always done what was right in the sight of the Lord. Wouldn't you love that to be your epitaph? It can be. Change right now. Repent. Really. Tell the Lord, listen, from now on, God, we're going your way, not mine. I'm going to read the Bible to see what way you want me to go, because the Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I'm going to do what it says. I'm going to pray. I want you to fill me with your Holy Spirit, because my desire from this day forward is to please you. That was Enoch's testimony. You know, Enoch probably didn't always walk with God, but he did after Methuselah was born, and he did for those last 300 years of his life. That's what you need to do, starting right now. How will yours read? Like David's? Like Enoch's? How about like Ruth's epitaph? In Ruth chapter 4, verse 15, the women said, that is Naomi's friend, the women said of Ruth, "Thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, is better to thee than seven sons." How would you like that written on your epitaph? She's better to thee than seven sons. Ruth had a remarkable testimony. You know, she was a Moabite and didn't have any business being there in Bethlehem, Judah with the Jews, and yet God provided for her. And listen, she wasn't bitter after the death of her husband. She married Mahlon and he died. Sad occasion, but she wasn't bitter. And you know something? She did not let Naomi's bitterness defile her. Naomi came back from Moab, and they said, "Is this Naomi?" She said, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara," meaning bitter. Well, the root of bitterness springs up and defiles many, but it didn't defile Ruth. She didn't let it. Instead, she trusted Naomi's God, the God of the Bible, the God of Israel. She trusted God. She gleaned in the fields. She got over there and she had to work like a widow woman, gleaning in the harvest, the barley harvest and the wheat harvest, picking up whatever little bit she could find so that she and Naomi could have something to eat. She waited on God to show her which man to marry. Boaz said, "Don't go after these young men, and I've told the young men to leave thee alone." She ends up marrying the owner of the fields in which she's been gleaning. She was a virtuous woman. When Naomi came back from Moab, she thought she'd come home empty. But the women said she had come home with something better than seven sons. She only had two to begin with. Oh, wouldn't it be something for the Lord to say on your epitaph, "A virtuous woman, better to thee than seven sons." Wow. You say, "Well, can I have that type of epitaph?" Yes, don't get bitter at God. Don't let other people's bitterness in your life defile you. Trust God. Do whatever work is necessary and wait on God to show you how your life will unfold, to show you who to marry. Don't be of these that fornicate early because they can't contain their lust. Flee youthful lusts. Be virtuous. It'll be worth it. How about Mary's epitaph? Will yours read like Mary's? In Mark chapter 14, verse 8, right before the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, Mary comes in and breaks the alabaster box and anoints the body of Jesus for his burial. And Jesus said, "She hath done what she could." What an epitaph. She hath done what she could. In Mark 14, 6, he said, "She hath wrought a good work on me." Listen, you don't have to do what the busy people like Martha are doing around you. Some people think that the best way for you to show that you are serving God is to get real busy, like Martha did, cumbered and troubled about much. Mary didn't do that. She sat at the feet of Jesus. She broke that alabaster box, very expensive, and put that on that ointment on Jesus Christ. Boy, I'll tell you what, God said, "Everywhere this gospel is preached, that which she hath done shall be spoken as a testimony for her." Look, do what you can for Jesus. Do a good work for the Lord. Live your life in fellowship with him and live your life serving him. Don't let others trouble you. Martha tried to trouble her when she was sitting at the feet of Jesus. The disciples tried to trouble her when she was anointing the body of Jesus Christ. Listen, don't waste your time trying to make everyone else happy. A lot of Christians today are frustrated and their name is not good because they're people pleasers and they are troubled all the time about making everybody else in the room happy. Don't worry about that. Do the things that make the Lord happy. Listen, you will find your greatest purpose and your greatest pleasure in pleasing the Lord. Oh, that's so worth doing. Consider some of the things we said. We could go on and on through the other people that are in the Bible. There are so many testimonies, so many epitaphs that are written about the people in the Bible. But we've seen enough for today. What you have seen is this. The way you live your life will determine your epitaph. It will determine whether your name is a good name in the time of your death or a bad name. That's what it'll be, whether yours is a good name or a wicked name. And you, in essence, from what you've seen today, you get to write what goes on your headstone. I mean, think about it. What would be on your headstone tonight if your life were to end today? What would be on it? You say, oh, it would say he was drinking himself drunk. It would say he went and hanged himself, or any of the other terrible things that could be said based on the lives of other people. Well, then stop. Stop. Listen, if what would be written is not good, then make some changes immediately. He died backslidden. You don't want that on your headstone. Change it. Change your life. Tell the Lord, we're going to go your way, not my way. Pick it up right now and have a testimony like David's, a man after God's own heart, or like Enoch's, he pleased God, or like Ruth's, she was a virtuous woman, or like Mary's, she hath done what she could. She hath wrought a good work on me. Do it like that and live your life so that you won't be disappointed with the summary that God writes for your life. Make sure it's a good name, and oh, you will be so pleased, and God will too, when you do. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.